Nirbhaya Krishna Pristai Budhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Pasikatya Desita Om Agyana Tivanandas Yaganjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchina Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakapa Truvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pravanityananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, Text Number 5. Udaradatmanatmanam Natmanam avasarayat Atmaiva yatmano bandur Atmaiva ripur atmanaha Udaret. One must deliver
Atmana
by the mind
Atmanam
the conditioned soul
Never.
Atmanam,
the conditioned soul.
Avasarayat,
put into degradation.
Atma,
mind.
Eva,
certainly.
He,
indeed.
Atmanaha,
of the conditioned soul.
Bandhu,
friend.
Atma,
mind.
Eva,
certainly.
Ripu,
enemy.
Atmanaha,
of the conditioned soul.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Please repeat. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind.
One must deliver himself with the help of his mind.
And not degrade himself.
And not degrade himself.
The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul.
The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul.
And his enemy as well.
And his enemy as well.
Purport. The word Atma denotes body, mind, and soul, depending upon different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nescience. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego that desires to lord it over the material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature. In this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to entangle oneself is to always engage his mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he is used for emphasizing this point. That is, one must do this. It is also said, mana eva manushanam karnam bandha mokshayo bandhaya vishaya sango muktyai nirvishayam manaha. For man, mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. Amrita Bindu, Upanishad 2. Therefore, the mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the supreme cause of supreme liberation. Udare datmanatmanam natmanama basarayat admayviyatmano bandura amaiva ripu ratmanaha. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristaya Bhutai Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhajarane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satarna. The whole aim of the yoga system is to make the mind our friend. Of course, if we don't know what the mind is, we don't know who we are, we don't know what the intelligence or false ego are, then it's very hard to figure out how to make the mind a friend. In another chapter in the Bhagavad Gita earlier, Krishna had said, Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate etari mohat yat yesha gyanam avritya dehina. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders it. And the purport prophet said that the enemy, namely lust, has found different strategic points in the body. And therefore we have to find out where our enemy is so we can fight him. That generally everything begins with hearing. We've heard, unfortunately, since we were at birth, we've heard the glories of living in the material world, how nice it is to have a material body, and what a glorious future our body could have if we get enough education, get a good job, become famous, get some prestige, whatever, then we'll become very happy in the material world. Isn't that right? People believe that? I didn't. Just make it up. That there is this possibility of having a successful life in the material world, of enjoying being happy here. And it's all based upon being able to control enough of the material energy. If you can control enough of the material energy, then you can gratify the desires that arise from the mind and the senses and therefore feel satisfied all the time. And material modern civilization has perfected that type of happiness, or is trying to. That if you wake up in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you want to eat some pizza, you just dial, 011, or 9/11. It's an emergency. And immediately the man from the pizza house jumps on his motorcycle, speeds at 100 miles an hour to your door. And you fling open the door and grab the pizza, and you're saved. So this is the idea of modern civilization. Somehow or another, they're going to make such good arrangements that whatever desire enters into your mind will immediately be able to be gratified. You'll be able to eventually go on the internet and food will appear right out of your computer. That you type in a certain number, you push a button on your desk, and immediately it converts into a bed and you go to sleep. What to speak of other things. So this is the perfection. That's what they think is the perfection. If whatever desire comes into my mind, I can gratify immediately. That's perfection of existence. Unfortunately, we have seen, that the more people have tried to gratify their desires, the more desires they have. People, believe it or not, 7 years ago probably, or at least 100 years ago, practically no one had a car. Probably weren't any cars. There were just horses. No one thought, I can't not live without a car. But nowadays, if you told everyone, we're going to take away all your cars, they'd cry like little children that you're taking my toy away. They can't imagine living without a car. Now they can't imagine living without a computer.
A cell phone.
Well, I don't have a cell phone, so I can imagine it. But a cell phone. They can't imagine without these things how there can be civilized human beings. That without a cell phone, without a computer, without a car, we'd be just like the monkeys in the jungle, just swinging from tree to tree. That's their conception. We're civilized because we have all this gadgetry. But it's actually not made life more simple. It actually made life more complicated. We're using these things simply to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, but we've just made it very difficult to eat, sleep, mate, and defend because everyone's working so hard to get all these gadgets so they can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. People don't have time to eat, sleep, mate, and defend anymore. They're too busy working for the things that they think are necessary to help them eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So this is called madness in the mode of ignorance. People have become so crazy, they don't even know why they're doing things. After working at their job from 9 to 5, or in some places from 8 to 12, from 8 to 10 at night, then people, they look forward to the weekend so they could simply get the fruit of what they're doing, namely to go to sleep. The dog in the street, without getting a college education and 3 PhD degrees, he can go to sleep. But modern education has given some false prestige to people. They've gone through some regimen where they've memorized some insignificant facts, or they've spent their lives going through some books of mental speculation, where one person speculated upon someone else's speculation, and they've added their own speculation to it, and they've been awarded a PhD because they've come up with an original speculation no one else has come up with. And everyone's honoring, oh, he's the best speculator yet. Whatever he wrote, no one can understand, so it must be very profound. So the point is, rather than gratify our gross and subtle senses, one has to learn how to conquer them. But as I said, everything begins by hearing. If we hear the wrong thing, then we'll have the wrong conception. There are the right thing and the wrong thing. The right thing is to hear about the eternal soul. Now, of course, we know we have not made up this philosophy that there is eternal soul. It's not a Hare Krishna philosophy. The poor Hare Krishnas, they couldn't get a good job. They're half crazy. They dress in bed sheets. And every time you see them, they're jumping up and down the street like mad people. They have a smile on the face. Perhaps they're intoxicated. So they've come up with this weird, bizarre philosophy that we're not the body. Because they don't like their body, they have some aversion towards their own body. Therefore, they've come up with this philosophy against the body, that we're not the body. But it is actually a fact that we're not the body. Anyone can see very easily that the body is always different, but we're always the same. Therefore, the person who is aware of the body is different from the body. We're souls. We're eternal spiritual personalities. And now our spiritual personality is manifested through a material body. It could be manifested through any kind of material body. But it's simply a result of our desire to worship something. Now we're, instead of worshiping Krishna, we're forced to worship material bodies. We're forced to desire to serve the demands of the body. While originally we're inclined to serve the desires of Krishna. Now the difference is that the demands of the body are a waste of time. No matter how much we eat, the body's never satisfied. It's not that we ate three times yesterday, now I have enough in reserve for the next 3 days. I slept an extra couple of hours, so now I can take it off for the next day. I put my reserve tank of sleeping in. Now I can go without sleeping for a while. No, the more one eats, the more one sleeps, the more one engages in gratifying the senses, the more the mind and the senses demand more and more gratification. And what is the result at the end? We simply leave the body. And the body doesn't give us any farewell. Oh, you're leaving me. Don't go. No, the body kicks us out. You rascal. You served me so much, but it wasn't enough. Get out. Kick. Hey, wait a second. I love you. I don't want to leave. Sorry, kid. You're finished. Out. Kick. Help. No, we're just kicked into another body, and like mad people, we're winding up blindly serving the senses and the mind, chewing the chewed, suffering like anything, thinking if I don't keep on suffering and serving my senses, what else is there to do? I need some engagement, might as well serve this body. Just like the ass running after the carrot. The carrot's tied to his head. It's put by a stick, 1 foot in front of him. He takes a step forward to get the carrot, and the carrot takes a step forward in front of him. And he thinks, well, it was only one step away. Another step forward, and again the carrot moves another step. And he keeps on running after the carrot, which is always one step ahead of him. So similarly, everyone's looking for happiness in the material world, and we think by serving my senses, I'll find happiness. But it's always one step away. Just a little bit extra effort and you'll get what you need. The better car, the better computer, the better bed to sleep in, the better husband or wife. Just one step away and you're there. And everyone's taking one step forward and the carrot takes one step in front of them. And they start running after the carrot and the carrot seems to run away from them. But they run faster and the carrot goes faster too. They don't realize the carrot's tied to their head. And with every step they're taking, this carrot's also taking a step along with them. In other words, unless we realize that we're not the body, that we're actually spiritual souls, then our life is completely a waste of time, just running after the carrot. And unless we realize that there is another purpose of life other than to gratify the senses, namely to become conscious of Krishna, then our life is completely meaningless. It is simply the over and over again doing the same thing, getting the same result. Getting frustrated, a pavarga. Working hard, pavarga. Pa means pa. Foam at the mouth. Foam comes from working hard like an ass, and then like a horse, when it works very hard, foam comes to the mouth. That's called pa. And pa, let's see, what is pa? Yeah, pa, working hard, foam, oh, that's right. Pa means to work hard. And then pa means palena, foam at the mouth. And va means exhaustion. Then we become exhausted. And then finally there's ma, mrityu, we die. Because we might get our name in some book. He got his gold watch, he worked here for 70 years till he dropped dead. And we come back as a ghost, look up our name, hey, I got my name in the book. My life is successful. Just like in the temple, the Indian community. Just to get the name on her plaque, they'll give everything they have. Not that, you know, every time anyone comes to the temple, they look at the plaques and read them, memorize them. Oh, Mr. Patel, where's Mr. Patel? I can go and surrender to him. He has his name on the plaque. So similarly, the politicians or others, they work so hard, not that they need anything, they just want to get their name in history. They say that Mr. Bush is the 50th, 52nd president or something of America. So, who is the president of the United States in the last Kali Yuga? Can anyone say? Does it matter to anyone? What's the difference? Is anyone going to write a book about the history of the president in the last Kali Yuga of America? Even if there was an America, who cares about it? So why do we care about this president? Why do we care about Abraham Lincoln, what he did? What is it? Who knows where Abraham Lincoln is now? No one even knows where he is. He could be anywhere. So what does it matter? Just like Prabhupada said, Nehru, he stayed in office for 19 years, and then he worked so hard for India to get his name in history. And then according to one astrologer, he came back as one of two dogs in Sweden. So he worked so hard for his country, he couldn't even take birth there again. Instead, he became a dog. Not only a dog in his own house, but he had to share his bowl with another dog. He couldn't even get his own bowl. Therefore, to take this, even if we are half crazy or fully crazy, still, if we engage in devotional service, by Krishna's mercy, gradually we may come to some sanity. In other words, knowingly or unknowingly, that if we engage in Krishna's service, gradually we'll get out of this false material concept of life. Gradually we'll realize our spiritual identity. And the amazing thing is that everyone has a spiritual identity. Not only the human beings, but even the animals are exactly like we are. We're identifying ourselves with this body. They're identifying themselves with their body. But there's no difference in how crazy people are. It's the same madness. Anyone who identifies himself with their body, they're equally mad as anyone else. Only when we realize that we're not the body that we come to the human form of life. Otherwise, we're not human beings, we're animals. Now, when a dog eats, it is not that the dog is an animal because he eats. And when we eat, because we eat in a special way, we eat some hamburger, therefore prepared, you know, we're able to kill unlimited number of cows and eat them. Therefore, we're human because we have a very scientific way of eating. Previously, some animal like a tiger would jump on another animal and eat it. But nowadays, we can kill thousands and millions of animals, grind them all together, and eat them. Therefore, we're humans. Because we don't jump on just one animal, we jump on millions of animals and kill them. And of course, when we eat them, we watch television. So that makes it. We're very sophisticated. Therefore, anyone who's in the bodily concept of life, he's equally crazy as anyone else. But the only advantage of human life is that we have an opportunity to find out who we really are. And we have an opportunity to engage the body in Krishna's service on the basis of real knowledge. Other than that, we're just as foolish as everyone else is. No matter how much society is praising itself, how much it's glorifying it, making history, writing history about how wonderful they are. Just like in America, everyone in America thinks they're special. Isn't that right? We're in a promised land, a special land. And everyone outside of America thinks we're fool number one. We're demons, we're the ugly American. Only in America do the people think they're beautiful, and everyone else thinks they're ugly. And within America, everyone thinks, oh, people who live in my state, they're special. Everyone else is kind of weird. We tolerate them anyhow. So this insanity goes on, up into the point where I think in my family we're special. Everyone else is kind of strange, but we tolerate them anyhow. But the fact is that everyone here is crazy. The only difference between ourselves and people in the insane asylum is that they're in the insane asylum and we're outside the same, we're in a different insane asylum. We're in the bigger insane asylum. And if we recognize ourselves as spiritual souls and engage this body in Krishna's service, then at least we're on the path of becoming sane again. Waking up out of our delusion, coming back to our actual identity. Other than that, people are just wasting their time. So here it says it's due to the false ego. So we're walking around with our false ego, thinking we have a nice false ego. Everyone else's false ego is not so nice, but we have a very nice false ego because we have a very nice body. We have a very special body. Our body can eat better than anyone else. It knows how to sleep more than anyone else. It has more sex than anyone else. And I learn karate. Therefore, I know how to defend. Therefore, we walk around with this false ego that I have a special false ego that makes me special. I have a special illusion. Everyone else's illusion is substandard. But I have a very special illusion. I'm walking around it. So this is all part of our madness. So by the influence of the false ego, we are determined to maintain this body for as long as possible, either to keep the body in existence so that it can be eat, sleep, mate, and defend, or be glorified by others, how nicely we're eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, or to get put down in the pages of history how we ate, slept, and mate, and defended. Just like George Washington. How do people honor George Washington? They go to the place where George Washington slept. Isn't right? They have a big sign. George Washington slept here. So people go there and walk around his bed, circumambulate it. Hope that one day in the future, people, after we leave our bodies, they'll make our bed a sacred place also, place of pilgrimage. Otherwise, what did George Washington do that was so sacred, so special? What made his eating, sleeping, bathing, defending? No, he went and fought for the country so that others could eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Therefore, he was special. That he helped us in our glorious attempts in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it says, Svavit rahostra karar samstuta purusha pashu yakara patiyopeto jatanamaka dagraja. The men who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they glorify the bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So the big leaders in society, unless they're Krishna conscious, they're just simply animals leading the little animals. Of course, this is very hard on our false ego, this philosophy. We much rather hear pastimes about Krishna playing in Vrindavan, and it doesn't hurt our false ego. Don't touch my false ego. You hurt it enough. It's bruised. But the fact is that because we are spiritual souls, therefore we should be prepared to bruise our false ego. We shouldn't, guard it very carefully. We should realize that this false ego is not our friend. It's not something I'm supposed to be serving. I should actually think deeply what Krishna wants me to do with this body and therefore conquer over my false ego. Get over this idea that I have certain material opulence because I have a certain body, that I'm wealthy, I'm intelligent, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm famous, I'm renounced, because we have this material body. Actually, it's not ourselves. We're nothing in the material world. We don't even know who we are. We just have an opportunity to utilize whatever present body we have and utilize in Krishna's service and therefore realize who we are. And then we can begin real life again where we don't become God at the end of life. After loving Krishna and serving him, we don't become elevated to the position of God. Krishna said, all right, I'll give you half my kingdom. You work so hard for me, I'll give you your own kingdom. No, we realize that we're an insignificant 1/10,000th the size of Tipihara souls, and everyone else except for Krishna is more or less the same size as we are. So that's a big blow to the false ego. Doesn't matter how sincere we are, how much we worked, how many years in school we went to. We're still 1/10,000th the size of Tipihara in size. It doesn't seem democratic. It's not even fair. Krishna is God and no one even voted for him. He doesn't have to run for office. What kind of democracy is this? We should organize a protest. Bring Krishna down to earth again. Although he's coming back again another 8,600,000 years. But, let Krishna come and let him work for his election. Why should he always be God? Why doesn't he just give up the position? Why is he so attached to his position? If he's so renounced, why doesn't he let someone else be God for a while? So for the conditioned soul, especially in America, it all doesn't seem very fair, democratic, just, that the absolute truth is that we're always going to be insignificant, we're always equal to everyone, that the dog in the street is just as good as we are, ultimately. It's not right. I'm chanting my rounds every day, I'm getting up early, and still I can't get anyone better, ultimately, than even the mosquito who's biting me. He, as a spiritual being, he has the same nature as I have, and he didn't even get up in the morning to get it. It's just what he has eternally. So certain things have to be worked out within our mind, because we think we deserve so many things. We think that actually I'm something special. And unfortunately, especially being born in America, makes it even harder, because that's all people are doing. Think we have a right to walk over the whole earth, trample it, cut down all the trees and throw our bombs around and send our military here and there, because we're Americans. Because God's on our side, it doesn't matter what we do. We're special. Even when we go against God, he'll have to surrender because we're Americans. Even when we commit sinful activity, God won't even notice it because we're something special. There's nothing we can do to get rid of our constitutional position as Americans. God gave this land to us. And we trust in God. We trust in God that whatever we do, he'll take care of us. Right, wrong, in between. It's all right. Because we're something special. So it's hard because that's one false ego we have. And then, of course, everyone is just fed their false ego. You went to the school, so you're something special. Or you didn't go to school, so you're special. Or you have this job, you're special. Or you live on the street, you're special. You root for this football team, you're special. You watch this television program, you're special. Everyone thinks that they're special. No one thinks that I'm insignificant. If they think they're insignificant, their head's down, I'm insignificant. They have to go to psychiatrists to try and puff them up again, make them proud. You are special. Your team is special. You just have to believe in it. Even if the candidate lost, don't worry, he'll win the next time. Just work harder. Become special. But we're insignificant. But Krishna is very significant. And one who serves Krishna, then they're serving the most significant personality. And therefore their activities actually become significant. It's not that they become our activities, but when we surrender activities to Krishna, we can watch Krishna do activities which are actually beneficial for us and for everyone else. If we become an instrument for Krishna, then we can actually do things which are beneficial for ourselves and for everyone else. Not that they become our activities, that we're doing everything, that we're saving anyone, but Krishna will save people, including ourselves. Just like here, we're giving class, not so many people came, so should we just pack up and leave? Oh, we're just talking about Krishna. No one really wants to hear about Krishna, so why should I waste my time talking about Krishna? Why don't we go out and join the Democratic Party and the Republican Party? We'll get a bigger crowd. Go out and tell them we're doing some campaigning here. No, actually, we're just the best we can be under all circumstances is an instrument for Krishna. So if Krishna tells thousands of people to come, we'll talk about Krishna. And if Krishna tells no one to come, then we still talk about Krishna. Because at least we'll hear about Krishna. And that will be our perfection. And if millions of people come to hear about the Democratic or the Republican Party, we'll just be wasting our time. Just fanning everyone's false ego, including our own. The conclusion is that the best thing is to hear about Krishna, try to understand it, and then become an instrument for Krishna, especially by trying to help others become Krishna conscious, because that way we'll also become Krishna conscious. But not that we should think either that we're the controllers in the material world, or that we're here to enjoy the material world, or that we're here to save anyone. We're here just to become an instrument for Krishna, and that way allow Krishna to control, enjoy, and save others, including ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, I have a question. Can anyone repeat my lecture back?
We're trying to become
the same. That's true. No, it's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, To think that everyone, all living entities are categorically equal, and that there's one living entity who's categorically better than everyone else eternally, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. And that the perfection of life is to realize that. And that everything else is just illusion. That everything I did besides that was just a waste of time. That anything didn't help me realize that was just a waste of time. Very difficult to realize. We're actually convinced that better to be, an illusion, thinking myself to be something special, than to be enlightened and realize how insignificant I am. Or to realize how significant Krishna is. Of course, when we realize how wonderful Krishna is, then we'll be in bliss, we'll be in ecstasy all the time. Because it'll be much more wonderful than anything we've ever experienced. But we're trying to make this body appear to be wonderful. This, our activities appear to be wonderful. When actually they're useless, unless they're in Krishna consciousness. Anyhow, enough bashing our false ego. So let's get into Ayurveda and we can find out how beautiful our bodies are. So we can pass out the test. You've taken the test already.
There's one paper that seems to be different from the other ones. I don't know.